Before we go to Scripture this morning and open in prayer, I'd like to greet our brethren this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To our Mexican brethren, Dios le bendiga. To our South Korean brethren, I hope I have this right, Sinui Shugwog. Close. And to our Persian brethren, Salamat Boshi. God bless you all. If we'd open our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle. We know an apostle, Brother Branham said, is one who's sent.
Yep.
And we know also, I get a kick out of one of Brother Branham's definitions of an apostle. He said, if you go and you stay, you're not an apostle, you're a squatter. So that's one who's sent. They go, they deliver the message or the correction or whatever the thing the Lord would have them do, and then they come back. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by my own will, he says, but by the will of God.
Amen.
To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your grace and your peace.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Knowing as this world is in a cataclysmic downturn,
yes,
where everything is spiraling down,
yes,
the economy, politics, religion,
amen,
education, the food structures and everything that goes with it, the earth is in turmoil.
Yes, that's right.
And yet, Father, we are being hid in your presence.
Yes. Yes.
As your prophet took the scripture from Psalm 27,
yes,
when the whole earth is vying for position and all the turmoil is going on, David said, hide me in your presence.
Yes.
Amen.
And so, Father, we're thankful for your word because we know you are the word.
Yes.
And we ask, Father, that before one bomb strikes, we know that we will be in the arms of Christ.
Amen.
And that is because we are now in the arms of Christ.
Amen.
So, Father, we're thankful that we have found our position in the family.
Amen.
We found our position in Christ.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us to yield to that position. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
Paul, an apostle, one who's been sent not of his own will, but by the will of God.
Uh-huh.
Said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm. I don't know how many scriptures it is, but there's quite a few where Jesus claims that God was his, not only his Father, but he was his God. And, you know, you see in the Muslim websites, they know this, but they do not believe in incarnation. Neither do the Jehovah Witnesses. That's where they're both alike. But we believe that God was incarnate in his Son, Jesus.
Yeah.
God was in Christ.
Amen.
Reconciling the world to himself.
Absolutely.
So he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. That's what he chose us, to be holy. And without blame, justified before him. That word before is improstin. It means in his presence.
Amen.
And so in love, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
Notice before the foundations of the world, when we were in Christ, in the very mind of God, we sing that song sometimes, I was in his mind.
Yes.
When he went up to Calvary, I was in his mind.
Yes.
We were in Christ, predestinated to the adoption of children.
Amen, brother.
But you know, according to the law of adoption, that when the eldest son comes to a place in his life where he is about his father's business, where everything he does is to please his father, the father takes that son up to a high place.
Yeah.
He cloaks him with a new garment or a special garment, And then before many witnesses, he positionally places his son as a co-equal or and as a heir of him. 50% of his property, 50% of his domain, at that point was given to the eldest son.
Amen.
Now we've got a problem. Because God, before the foundations of the world, predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And yet we have a father who cannot die. And so according to the law of adoption, when the laws that God set forth pertaining to adoption, that when the father died, the eldest son already had 50%, then all the other children, when the father died, were given the other 50% to split between them. But we've got a problem because we have a father who is the only immortal king.
Right.
He can't die.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ, before the foundations of the world, when God was placing us, ordaining us, predestinating us to the adoption of children, he also was predestinated his eldest son in the vast family of brothers to be the lamb that was slain before the foundations
Amen.
Of the world.
Amen.
So when that son went forth of his own, he said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
No greater love is there than a man lay down his life for his brothers. And so Jesus Christ, the eldest brother in a vast family of brethren, stepped forward in Gethsemane. And Brother Brown said his greatest victory was in Gethsemane, not Calvary, in Gethsemane.
Yeah.
He said that's when he got the victory. And he said, Father, I don't want this. Brother Brown said, you know, Brother Brown said that Jesus wanted to dodge the cross. That's his own flesh. He wanted to dodge the cross. But he wrestled with it until the blood came forth from his sweat. Hallelujah. He realized what was ahead for him.
Yes.
But he laid down his
Hallelujah.
Life so that you and I could become joint
Amen.
Heirs with Christ.
Amen.
You see, he had faith that God would raise him up. But when God raised him up, he became one of the brethren.
Yes.
And he's not ashamed to call you his brother.
Amen.
Amen.
So we see here in Ephesians the plan and purpose of God, that before the very foundations of the world, we were predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Having predestinated us, verse 5, having predestinated, past tense, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, notice, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ,
yes.
both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
Yes.
That we should be to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Who first trusted in Christ. Now what does that mean? That we should be to the praise of his glory. Well, Paul said the praise offering is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, giving praise to his name. You see?
Mm-hmm.
But that we should be to the praise of his glory. Well, that word glory was translated from a Greek word doxa. And it simply means the opinion, the values, and the judgment. In other words, God is looking for his children to be to the praise of his values.
Amen.
The praise of his opinion, not our opinion.
Yeah.
Your opinion ain't worth diddly squat.
Right.
Right.
If you're a son of God, if you're filled with his spirit.
Uh-huh.
But to the praise of his opinion, the praise of his judgment,
Amen.
His words.
Uh-huh.
You see, over in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of each other, each one of you, abounds toward one another. So that we ourselves glory in your churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that you endure, which is a manifest token. Now, what does it mean, manifest token? It means a token which has been expressed.
Amen.
That it becomes a manifest token. And we find in verse 10, he says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Mm-hmm. Glorified. En doxazo. En. You brothers know in Spanish, en means in. In. En, in. Doxa, in the values, in. The values are in. The values, the opinions are in. The values are in. Azo. Means they are expressed or manifold or expressed through you. So this is the time when we read here in verse 10 that he says, when he comes, when did he come? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Brother Brown said, the shout's the message.
Amen.
What's the message? It's the values of God. Holiness.
Amen.
It's the opinion of God.
Yes.
It's his doctrine.
Yes.
You know, people say, well, we don't need doctrine. Listen, Brother Brown said, Christ is the doctrine.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need that doctrine more than anything, because that doctrine positionally places us. Ephesians parallels Joshua.
Yes.
Every time there's been a prophetic ministry, there's always been a teaching ministry to follow.
Right.
Because the teacher is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
He positionally places the people. How can we expect to ever be to that right kind of a son to be adopted if we're not taught how to be the right
That's
kind
right.
of a son?
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Look at how they're spending all these years trying to teach Prince Henry or Harry or whatever his name is over there how to
yes.
become a king.
That's right.
They failed with Prince Charles.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're trying to spend all this time teaching Mr. Harry and what's the other one?
William,
yes, William. I guess William first, because he's the oldest.
Yeah.
Trying to teach him, trying to train him.
Yes.
Yep.
You see, when Samuel was brought to Eli, he was placed there to be taught how to be a priest.
Yes, he was.
Right.
Amen? And yet we've been called to be kings and priests.
Exactly right.
But we think we can do it on our own. I've got a whole thing to tell you about. Brother Branham said there'll be further sanctification in the millennium. Do you know
That's
that?
Right.
You know what that means? How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word there.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You see, the Holy Spirit comes in to our vessel. It's like a glass. That glass, you have, this glass is full of rocks.
Yep.
And you can fill that glass to the top and you're not full of the Holy Ghost, brother,
right.
sister, because all those rocks. And when you take those rocks out, as you take each rock out, there's more placement for more Holy Spirit, more
right.
Word of God.
Okay.
Brother Branham, well, we know, he finally came to the place where he said, all my thoughts are of God.
Amen.
It was a process. Becoming a king and priest is a process. Becoming children of God is a process. Growing up into him in all things. That's what the ministry of the fivefold is all about. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. I don't mean to get off my subject this morning, but... Amen. All right. Paul says in verse 4, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus... Now, what's a prisoner? It's someone who's completely has no will of their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're completely surrendered. They're completely being controlled.
Yes.
I, Paul, the one who is being completely controlled by the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope, one earnest expectation of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The metron. The metron. It's the limited amount, you see, wherein he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended... What is it also, but he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth, He that has descended into the same also hath ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave. He gave some, plural, to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. Now that word perfecting means the maturing. It's all about training, child training. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Not the tearing down. You know, if you're under a ministry that tears down, that's not a true fivefold. That's not from God. That's from the devil. God does not tear down. God builds up. You see? Till we all come in the unity, notice, not of faith. The unity of the faith. There's only one faith, one Lord. And that one faith is the faith of that one Lord.
Amen.
You see? And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living, it's Christ living
Amen.
In me.
Amen.
And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living
right.
by the faith of the Son of God,
Amen.
His faith.
Amen.
You see, Jesus had to have faith to go to the cross.
Yes.
He had to see himself as the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. That's what was revealed to him. And when that was revealed to him, he recognized that we could not have inheritance until he fulfilled his role in the family.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You see, we all have a role in the family, every one of us. Some are fivefold ministry. Some are housewives. Some are husbands, and some are mechanics. Some are, we all have our different roles in the family. When I was a child, my job in the family, my role, take out the garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, you say, well, that's not such a good role. But let me tell you something, the whole family suffered if I didn't. Right? So no matter how little you might think your role is, the whole family is depending on that role. As Brother Branham said, no, not everybody prays for the sick, but we have people that pray for those who do pray for the sick.
There you go, brother.
You see? Hallelujah. So he says in verse 4, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And, listen, you can't be mature until you come into the unity of the faith, the revelation, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Well, if you don't even believe there's a Son of God, if you believe that God and Jesus are one like your fingers one, and Brother Brown said they're not.
No, that's right.
You see, then, how could you ever come to a maturity? You're always tossed about, he says here.
Yes.
He says, unto a perfect man, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that the fullness of the Godhead is bodily in you. That's not what it's saying there. He's saying, till we all come to a measure. Brother Bram said, he had the ocean. I have just a teaspoon.
There you go.
Well, see, if Brother Bram had a teaspoon, I don't think I even had a thimble full. But you know what? All I need is one little sperm from God to bring forth the body.
Amen.
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 And you can fit, 3 million sperm on the head of a pin? Something like that? Well, so we don't need a whole lot, brother, sister, but we just need God's life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it comes through the washing of water by the word. Amen. All right. Unto the measure of the stature of the fulfilling of Christ. The word stature means the character. So unto the measure of the character of the fulfilling of Christ. Brother Brown said, we only take one thing with us.
Right.
That's our character.
That's right.
And you know what? It's not your character, it's his character.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we henceforth, see, this maturity is, this fivefold ministry, this whole process is that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Brother Brown said, I would rather than any gift, I would rather have a church so filled with love for one another.
Amen.
To help one another. To be there for one another.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we go back to Ephesians 1 again. Sorry for deviating. But Notice he says that in the dispensation, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Doesn't the scripture say that it is God working in you
to will
and to do? You see, you can't even will until God is working in you to will. Then, because otherwise you've got your own will. And you know, your own will is at enmity with God. We're going to get into that in Romans 8 in just a minute. That we should be to the praise of His glory, the praise of His doxa, the praise of His values, the praise of His opinion, who first trusted in Christ. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth. The good news of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The praise of His values, the praise of His opinion, the praise of His judgments.
Amen.
It's all about Him.
Yes.
Christ is the doctrine.
Yes.
Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice Paul said, I've seen your love for one another. I've seen your faith. Faith is a revelation. I've seen that revelation in you. And I've seen your love. And you know, we have faith, hope, and love, Paul says, these three, and the greatest of these is love, because faith is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation. The faith produces, the revelation produces an earnest expecting.
Amen.
And then love is the outward expression of that earnest expectation. Love is the outward expression of that revelation. As I've said before, and I think I've even mentioned that here, a young man, he gets a revelation that this woman is to be his bride. Well, he earnestly begins to expect that they will be married. And so he starts to express that faith, express that love in doing things, kind things for her. He buys her flowers, he buys her candies, he buys her even clothing and different things like that. You see what it's all about? It's about an expression of the faith. We got too many people in this message, they have a mental faith. And that's as far as they've gotten.
Yeah.
But it's all about God expressing Himself. Brother Brown said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, first it was God expressed in His Son.
Yes.
Then He said, God having the preeminence. Secondly, God having the preeminence in His church that He can express Himself through that church.
Amen.
And finally, He'll take us to the place where we can have fellowship with Him.
Thank you, Lord.
As He walked in the garden with Adam. Hallelujah. So we see here, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, Paul had saw the people, he thought they were ready for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. He said, this is the next step. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Brother Bram said in 1954 in the seven church ages, he said that as Gabriel came to Daniel, so the Holy Spirit will come. He said, in the spirit of wisdom and revelation to make ready the church. The Holy Spirit Himself came down with a shout, a message. To do what? To get ready the church. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the things that are hidden belong unto the Lord our God.
Yes.
But those things which are revealed belong unto us.
Yes.
And to our children forever.
Amen.
And so God had to reveal it to a prophet. When God revealed it to a prophet, it became a prophet's message. And when that prophet spoke it, and it became revealed to you, it now becomes your message.
Amen.
Too many people think the message is God sent a prophet. No, the message is not God sent a prophet. The message is that we have one God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the eldest Son in the vast family of brethren, and we are ordained to be conformed to the image of that Son. Hallelujah. He says, notice he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him.
Right.
For what? What reason? That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory, the riches of the doxa, the riches of God's values and His opinion, of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? I mean, we've got Baptists and, you know, Presbyterians and a lot of studious type Christians, even in this message. And they haven't been born again. But they say, hey, I don't have condemnation. I'm a son of God. I can do whatever I want. Huh? I'm not condemned to do it. Oh, really? Well, listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. What does it mean, walking after the flesh? I want you to cross off the word the flesh and put in self.
Amen. Amen.
Because as long as you put the flesh, you can point to somebody else.
That's right.
Very good.
Amen. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after themselves, but after the Spirit.
Yes.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death?
Right.
But I thank God through Jesus Christ, who giveth me the victory.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Ramsey, the greatest battle we have is where? It's right in the mind, brother, sister.
That's right.
Brother Ramsey said, as long as we're in this flesh, there's no perfection. Not this side of the resurrection, as far as that kind of perfection.
Right.
Now listen. For the law of the Spirit of life. What is the Spirit of life? What is the law of life? Genesis 1:11. Every seed after its kind. For the law of life, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In other words, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies. This body of this death is your enemy.
Yes.
This is self. But he's saying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, another seed. You see, the spoken word is the original seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you've been born again, Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from this thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For what the law could not do, the law of Genesis 1:11, this seed could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the Spirit which was in him might come back upon us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That the righteousness or the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in who?
Us.
In us.
Yep.
Who walk not after self.
That's so good.
But after the Spirit.
Amen.
For they that are after self do mind the things of self.
Yes.
Right.
But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Let me just read this from the, it's called the Message Translation. I don't think he had a clue as to the message when they wrote it, but
yeah. Right.
They called it that. But let me just read it for you. Verse 5 through 8. Those who think that they can do it on their own and end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end.
Yes.
Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious free life.
Amen.
Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God.
Yes.
Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than they think about God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, who won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Bringing you alive to himself.
I believe that.
When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life with his Spirit living in you. Your body will be as alive as Christ's body was. So don't you see that you don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
What's that?
Make us some copies of that.
Here you go. All right, let's go back to the King James Version.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For they that are after self do mind the things of self. Actually, I'm just taking the word flesh and changing it to self. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The self-serving self, the mind that is self, just focused on self, is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the Word of God, the law of God, neither indeed can it be. How can you be subject to the things of God and the life of God when you're so absorbed in your own little self? So then they that are in self cannot please God. But you are not in the in self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He's not his seed. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness or rightwiseness. But, and this is one of my favorite verses, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and we have 18 verses of Scripture tells us God raised Jesus from the dead. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, what's a mortal body? A body that's capable of dying. That's right. Too many people say, oh, this is going to raise me up from the grave. It'll do that, but let me tell you something. He says, now he says, verse 11 here, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal body. Not a body that's dead, because the body that's dead is a cadaver. What's the other word they use? A corpse.
Yeah.
But the mortal body is the body you're in right now.
That's right. Amen.
If the Spirit of God is in you, it'll make that body alive to the things of God.
Amen.
No longer looking to self and having your little pity parties.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Now listen. How does it make you alive to self, to Christ, to God? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We are not debtors to this self. For if you live after self, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, What does it mean to mortify? It means to kill him. Just kill this body dead. It says you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, notice, we'll continue reading. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So why do all these preachers preach fear, fear, fear? True fivefold ministry brings the people into a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
You no longer have a timid life, one that's just broken down all the time and just fearful.
Amen.
But you have an abundant life.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Whereby you cry, what's next, Papa?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen.
You see, because the Spirit, not your Spirit he's talking about here. The Spirit, there's only one the Spirit, that's God's Spirit. The Spirit beareth witness with your Spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified, endoxazo, together, expressing the very opinions of God, expressing the values of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What father out here would not want your children to have your values? How disappointing it is for a parent to see their child go off after the world. That prodigal son. It breaks your heart. And we have a father who wants his own values to be expressed in us. His own life to be expressed in us. What good would the life of God do in you if it just does something so that you can think a little differently? So I've got doctrine. I understand the message. I've got it here. And it's not being expressed through here.
Amen.
So Brother Brown said, you can have I'd rather have a right heart than right doctrine. Because if you have a right heart, you'll get the right doctrine.
That's right.
You see, but I've seen too many with the right doctrine, but boy, they'll... Anyway, I just won't talk about that. So notice, he says, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, how does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Well, praise the Lord! I really felt it right through my fingers. No. I got this tingling sensation. No. I see balls of fire on the platform and blood flowing from the hand. No. People come to me all the time and they say, I get letters from overseas. And we'll see it coming up here. He says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Huh? Now listen. They write and they say, what will the manifestation of the sons of God be? Let's just read up to there. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the values, with the opinion which shall be revealed in us. You know what the word reveal means? We get a lot of people, you know, in this message, they love Matthew where Jesus said to Peter, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And they love the fact that there's a revelation, there's an idea of revelation. But they don't understand that the word reveal in the Greek is apokalypsis. It means an unveiling. It's not a knowledge based on mental attitude or mental aptitude. It's a knowledge based on a unveiling. Based on an experiential knowledge. Where God himself, the mighty God, has come down. He's done something and you caught it. You understand?
Amen.
All right, so Romans we're looking at here. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, with the values and opinion which shall be revealed, expressed in us." In us.
Yep.
"For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for this expression."
Uh-huh.
"For the manifestation." You see, the expression of the sons of God. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Now tell me, these churches that are preaching fear, 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 where the glorious liberty is. Huh? Now listen. This whole plan of God is to see His life expressed
Amen.
In His children.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen. That's right.
So we ask ourselves, we go back to verse 16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now what does that mean? How does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Well, from position in Christ, Brother Ram said, "Now, for you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit," and the congregation says, "adoption." Now, after you're adopted, all right, after you're adopted, you're placed. Then you understand, after the ceremony's been said, you've been put into the body correctly. You're a son, sure, a daughter, when you're born again. That's your birth. But now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit... We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father," which means, "My God." All right? "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God."
Yes.
How does it do that? Now, Brother Branham just read the scripture.
Yeah.
And he says, how does God's Spirit bear witness with your spirit? Oh, you say, "Well, glory to God, hallelujah, don't bother me, I'm a child of God," and go out and do the things that you do. He said, "The Spirit of God will do the works of God."
Amen.
Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also."
Yeah.
If we do not see an attitude change amongst those who believe the doctrine, to the place where we can allow that doctrine to express the very doxa, the very values of God, the very opinion of God, to where our bodies become an expression of God's holy presence, then you don't have nothing. I'm sorry, you've got intellect.
Yeah.
When God's Spirit lives in you,
yes,
it's living in you.
Amen.
Then you're no longer living. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ."
Yes.
Nevertheless, he said, "I'm living, I'm alive."
Yes.
Yet it's not me that's living
yes.
in this flesh.
Amen.
But Christ is living in me.
Amen.
And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
If God is not living in your body, you're in trouble.
Amen.
That's it. Because you're still living for self. God can't use you. Brother Bram, another place, said, "Why don't we see more of John 14:12 in the church?" He said, "Because the people haven't died yet to themselves. They haven't rotted." How does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? How does it do it? He said, "The Spirit of God will do the works of God."
Yes.
From discerning of the body of the Lord, Brother Brown said, the best witness that we have that we got the Holy Ghost is when our spirit bears record with the Word.
Yes.
If we call ourselves Christians and we say we're filled with the Spirit and see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believers for all ages and our spirit tells us that that's for another age, well, you're wrong. That's right, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if our spirit said, no, he's dead, he's gone on, there's something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world." And if our spirit pulls back from that, we haven't got the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit will say amen to every word he wrote. Now, intellectual knowledge will pull away from that, but the Holy Spirit will say amen to his own word.
Yeah.
He certainly will. He's seeking and hunting and trying to find someone that he can put himself into. He longs to find it. You see, the fact is that Jesus Christ died so that you can live. You believe that?
Amen.
How many believe that?
Amen.
All right. And God wants you to die so Jesus can live again.
That's right.
In you. In you. Brother Bram said he wants to borrow my body. He said, "I'll give it to him.
Yes.
I'll loan it to him. Whatever he can get out of it."
That's
Lord. Now, you say, okay, so I'm revved up, pastor and preacher, and I'm just getting ready, and I'm going to go out this door, and I'm going to do something for God. That's not it. It's not you doing it. It's him. You know, we have, I think it was Jeremiah, God told him he was going to do the works of Christ. You know what he did? God said, go lay on your left side for 340 days. 340 days, yep, for a sign.
Yep.
And you know what? I can imagine all his church friends came around and said, what a lazy guy. He ain't doing nothing for God. You try laying on your side, not even able to roll over. He was not permitted to roll over. He had to lay on that side for 340 days. Then, after that, God said, now, roll over. Lay on the other side for another 40 days. Look, Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, that doeth the Son likewise. He said in chapter 10, John 10, he said, the words that I speak to you, the things that I teach, he said, the Father commanded me what to say and what to teach, and thus I speak. John 7:16, he said, the doctrine I teach is not mine, it's the Father's that sent me. He said, I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. Now, I believe when the bride of Jesus Christ has so died to herself that she doesn't do anything but what she sees right in this word. She doesn't speak anything but what she sees right in this word. She has no doctrine but what's right out of this Bible. And she has no will of her own but his will. Then she will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's continue to read.
Thank you, Lord.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, which shall be revealed or expressed in us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, as I mentioned, I get these emails from brothers, they say, well, what will be the manifestation of the sons of God? And I say, well, let me ask you a question. Was it the miracles that manifested Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And if they say yes, I say, just a minute now. Balaam had miracles. Jannes and Jambres had miracles. What manifested that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. He was an obedient son. He said, it's my Father's good pleasure. And he said, it's my joy to do what my Father would ask. He said, all I want to do is please him. And Brother Bram said the same thing. He said, I can do anything I want to do. But he said, all I want to do is to please God. And if that spirit is not in you saying those words, I'm sorry, but that's not God's spirit talking in you. Because if you truly have the Spirit of God in you, you will want to do only what the Father wants you to do. You will then become Paul the prisoner, or whatever your name is. You'll say, I, Dave, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And so, I ask you, what manifested Jesus Christ as the Son of God? It was his obedience. As Brother Branham said, that's why God took him up and said, he said, this is my beloved son. Now hear ye him. You see, when he was baptizing, the Holy Spirit came down. God came down. Brother Branham said, God didn't enter Jesus till the River Jordan.
That's right.
He said, and when God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Or as Brother Branham said, in whom I'm pleased to dwell in.
That's right.
But you know, it wasn't until 3 years later that God took him up and said those words again, but he added something this time. When did he add it? When Jesus Christ was positionally placed. Hallelujah. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. And Brother Branham said, God said, now I place my word in my son and I can step back. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister.
Praise the Lord.
You see how, well, let's just read on. This is beautiful. The scripture is wonderful.
Amen.
Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of this body. How many times Paul said, when I would to do good, there's evil present. How many times you groan when you did something, said something?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Please, Lord, I didn't mean to say it to that person that way. I'm so sorry. That's the groaning and travailing until, see? For we are, and he goes on, he says, okay. For we are saved by hope, which is an earnest expectation, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man yet seeth, why would he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now listen, we're going to get to a couple more verses before we start to level down. Likewise, the Spirit, God's Spirit, also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart, that's the word, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, that's Ephesians 1. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Now, what's the best thing that you can think of on earth that shows predestination? It's a seed. Because everything is in that seed that it will ever be. Brother Brown said, every apple that will ever come off that tree was in that seed to begin with.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
You see, when you were born into this world, you were born with attributes, certain color of eyes, and some have freckles, some don't have freckles. You have and the ability of your hair to grow fast, grow short, I mean grow slow, or even at a certain age to kind of fade back. But you see, we have in us, by predestination, everything we will ever have need of. And when God predestinated that gene seed for us before the foundation of the world, all it took was light. The glorious presence of God shining,
Amen.
That pillar of fire coming down and setting your seed. And when that life began to quicken your mortal body, it taking over your mortal body. And notice it says, and all things shall work together for the good. To them that love God, to them that are thee called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, back there before the foundation of the world. Also him did he predestinate, past tense, placed it all in there, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That means there's other born ones. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, past tense, glorified. God and saw the endoxazo. He saw the expression of his values, of his opinion in you, manifested in you, expressed in you before, while you were still seed. Hallelujah. Now listen, to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. From the mark of the beast, Brother Branham said. Now remember, the Bible said, don't spare nothing. Little or young or old or all that hasn't got the seal of God would be marked otherwise. And look who was marked out of it. Lifelong men who gave their lives for the clergy. Priests and renowned men. Great priests and scholars. Now, how many knows that's true? Why, sure it is. Sure it's true. Just as a scholar, just as holy, just as sweet, perhaps fine people, citizens of the country. But that's no excuse. When God sends something and you fail to walk in it, then you're out. That's all. You either do or you don't. That's the way it was. All that didn't get in the ark, they drowned. And that was all there was to it, no matter who they was. That's the same thing. All that's not in Christ today will perish without Christ. It's true. So you can't say, well, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal, I'm in this message. I just added that one there. Or anything else. That's anything else, you see. You've got to be in Christ. And if you're of Christ, you do the works of Christ. That bears record and proves that it is. It's just as clear as a scripture. I know how to say it. That's just as clear as I know how to say it. That's just as plain as a nose on your big face, or a big nose on this face of mine, rather. That's right. Amen. You see, if you claim that you're born again, then I ask the question, who's living the life in you? Huh? You ought to be able to go to the mirror of this word and see who it is. You ought to be able to stand in the mirror also, you sisters and brothers, and say, would Jesus Christ, His Spirit, His life in me, dress like I'm dressing? Listening to the music I'm listening to? Acting the way I'm acting? Saying the way I'm thinking? You know, listen. We all think, oh, if I could only be a prophet. You don't want to be a prophet.
No.
You don't want to get beat up like Brother Brown got beat up. Like Jesus got beat up. No. But let me tell you something. When you come to the place where you conform to the image of the firstborn son, it's when you've completely yielded your spirit to his spirit, your flesh to him, your will to his will. You think Christ. All your thoughts are Christ. You don't need a vision for God to tell you what to do. You have the Bible. But if only I had a vision, I could really know for sure. Listen, Brother Bram said I had to check every vision with this.
Yep.
So Brother Bram had to check every vision with this. And Jesus had to check every vision with this. Then let's bypass the vision and go right to where they checked. Huh? Are your actions from here? Is your speech from here? Is your will from here?
Yeah.
From we would see Jesus, Brother Bram said. That was Jesus yesterday. If he's the same today, he has to be the same. He will do the same. He will act the same. And if his church has got his spirit, they'll be like Christ. If I told you that I had the spirit of some outlaw in me like John Dillinger, you'd expect me to have big guns and be dangerous to be around. If his spirit was in me, well, if I told you that I had the spirit of some famous artist, you'd expect me to be able to catch the waves and the sunset and so forth and paint like an artist if his spirit is in me. Oh, I hope this goes home. But if the Christian church has got the spirit of Christ, they'll do the works of Christ. Christ said so. If the spirit is in the church, what faith are you contending for? We're just Christians by profession. We might be Christians by cold formal profession. We might be Christians by radical, enthusiastic, hysterical faith. But a real Christian, the Spirit of Christ produces the Bible again, for it's His Spirit. You see, as I told Brother Vail, I said, Brother Vail, I don't care what the works is that God wants me to do. I just want to be obedient to His will. Like Jeremiah, if He wants me to lay in my side for 340 days... I want to be willing. I want my motive and my objective to be such that I don't care what God desires for me to do. If it's nothing, I'll be pleased doing nothing. You see? It's not that I want to go out and try to produce something. Jesus, God sent him through 300 people to pray for one. And he submitted his will. And you know, he had a lot of compassion. He did. He loved people. And walk past these crippled, halt, lame, blind people that he could have gone and laid hands on. And he knew they would have been healed. Because Mark 16 doesn't say they might be healed, it says they shall be healed.
That's right.
But he waited upon God. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, when the bride of Jesus Christ is like that, we'll be ready for a new body. We'll be ready for our body. We'll be ready for that coat. Amen. That wonderful coat he's got for us at the time of adoption, Paul said, to wit, the redemption of our body. From return and jubilee, Brother Brown said, but in order to be a son, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God. Then you become Christ-like and do the works of Christ. Then you're not funny to them people. The human acting like a human is not funny. And a Christian acting like a Christian is born of the same Spirit. You see, the Pentecostal group at the beginning, that same Pentecostal group acted the same way if it's born of the same Spirit, because it's born. That's why today the people don't understand the church. And the church has begun to grow cold and formal, getting after creeds and things, and leaving off the following of the Holy Spirit. From letting off the pressure, he said, now the Son of God is here tonight. I believe that. I'm not no Son of God. I'm an adopted Son of God like you are. I'm a portion of His Spirit, and if His Spirit is in me, if I tell you the Spirit of Christ is in me, then I should do the works of Christ, live the kind of life that He lived, and sacrificed life for the people. That's right. Didn't Brother Branham tell us that eternal life is living for one another?
Yes.
See, that's why I like to substitute when it says that you live after the flesh. No, if you live after self.
Yes.
You see? Yeah. Then that's it. But if you live after His Spirit, you're going to live for one another. You won't be living for self. And from being certain of God, He said, if I had the Spirit of Christ, I'll do the works of Christ. Jesus said, if I do not the works of Christ, works of my Father, believe me not. And if the church does not do the works of Christ, then don't believe that church. A lot of problems in this message. It's all intellectual. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe, and we perverted it by works of man, doctrines of man. The Bible said in the last days, they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You say, them's communists. No, them's Christians, so-called, and church members. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, saying, O God, to that another age, not this age. But the Bible said, from such turn away, we're living in that day. Didn't Paul tell us? In Galatians 3:27, to put on Christ. You know, we had some brethren overseas, and they were asked, we were teaching on the presence of Christ in this hour, the appearing versus the coming. We're teaching on the Godhead. And I had 8 ministers from in Uganda with me as we toured Uganda, Kenya, and Rwanda. And we had questions and answers after the ministers' meetings. So the question came up, and they said, well, you know, we can see how in the Old Testament that God appeared to a prophet before the coming of the promised son, Isaac. Okay, we can see the appearing before the coming. That's good. But do you have any other examples of father and son in the Old Testament that we can see? And the brother said, well, one of the brothers, Brother Ben, got up. He said, well, I'd just like to say this, that people look at Isaac and they think, well, he was just a blind old prophet. He lost it all. He lost his discernment. He lost everything because he was blind, the Bible says. Gotten blind. It's like they try to say with Brother Vail now because he can hardly read. So they think they can get away with stuff, and they won't be getting away too much. But let me just say this. So, he said, now, notice, Jacob, when he presented himself to Isaac, he dressed like Esau. Right? He talked like Esau. Is that right? He acted like Esau. He made the pottage, which is Esau's way of acting. You know, he made the pottage. He dressed like him. He talked like him. He spoke like him. He even put on enough to smell like him. That's right. And Paul said, we must put on Christ. In order for us to receive the adoption of sons, brother, sister, we've got to put on the one who's already been adopted. Then we have the assurance.
Amen.
That we have the adoption.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
In Ephesians 4:24, he said, put on the new man. That's Christ. He tells us how to put on Christ. In Colossians 3:10-14. And Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, putting on incorruption. In Colossians, he says, that we're dressed in the Word. We put on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel.
Amen.
Because when you think like Christ, you see, if God is living in you, He's going to wear the clothing that He would wear. He ain't going to wear the clothing that you would wear. He'll have His feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He'll have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. You understand? It's a late hour, brother, sister.
Yes, it is.
We're looking for a change of the body one day. But God's not going to change the body until first the inner man has been renewed.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we know that you have come down with a shout. We know that the things which are hidden belong to you, but the things which have been revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And so, Father, we're thankful that you have revealed to yourself. You have undressed before us. You have exposed yourself in the life. And we see that your son, William Branham, was so conformed to the image of the eldest son. Some people even thought he was. How much a testimony if people begin to see Jesus Christ so much in us that they were to think that we are Jesus Christ. They didn't call them Christians because they had a doctrine. They called them Christian because they were Christ-like. Help us, O God, to be so Christ-like that we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. For we ask it humbly, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song in closing. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long. To be like same image, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
That, we were able to look at that glory, that dunks and the assessment of all of the years, and I thought, oh Lord Jesus, change us into that image. Huh? I'm just thinking, my goodness, we are blessed.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brian, so much. Nate, I want some help up here, because there's another song. One thing have I desired of